This episode of Talk of the Devils is sponsored once more by Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform helping you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders phase. Yep, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling ETH style turtleneck sweaters or blueprints for brand new stadiums, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Plus, you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And what's more, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 support is there to help your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Now, because you listen to Talk of the Devils, you can sign up for our $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/reddevils, all in lowercase without any spaces. So go to shopify.com/reddevils to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/reddevils.
The Athletic.
This is Talk of Devils, the Athletics podcast dedicated to Manchester United. We are going to react to that narrow victory over West Ham. United showing all sorts of resilience to get the job done. Marcus Rashford bringing up his ton with the key goal in the game. Harry Maguire lasted 90 minutes. It isn't the story. That's a positive. We'll talk about the United atmosphere. We'll preview the trip to La Real. Not Sociedad, because Andy Mitten will slap my legs. And we'll also, of course...
Also, have a couple of candy kittens. I've just presented them right in his face.
Oh, very nice.
Now he's really distracted.
Carl Anker, I'm going to get that correct today, is alongside me here at Old Trafford. We've watched the game. Andy Mitten is over in Barcelona as well. Hello, Andy. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Having watched that win, I enjoyed it. Wasn't the best game ever, but...
I tell you what, that victory was nearly as sweet as Candy Kitten's Very Cherry. So I'm going to help myself to one of those. Fancy one, Kate?
Yeah, cheers.
Yep. There we go. We'll carry on, Andrew.
Yeah, looking at you two eating sweets, and I've got a sweet tooth, and I've got no sweets with me. I felt that there was a lot of encouragement from what I saw among Manchester United today. Marcus Rashford continues to look confident, scored the goal. A year ago, I think Manchester United would have probably conceded late on in that game. Thought Lisandro Martinez was excellent. Thought West Ham were very good, actually, and they felt that they deserved something. I thought Harry Maguire, shaky in the first half, much better in the second half. Casemiro keeps bringing the balance. David De Gea, we should mention him as well.
That's who I missed out in that intro when I got distracted by Kyle Sweets. Incredible. Luis Enrique needs his head testing. We'll come on to that, definitely. And we've been here, Kyle. What did you think of that United display? Second half was poor, really, to be honest, but it showed a different side of this team.
First half good, second half a real test display of the resilience of Manchester United. Like Andy said, there was a point, you know, a year ago, you're watching that, you're thinking United are going to concede or even, you know, end up losing that game. West Ham were really throwing in a lot of crosses in the second half. I think the first half, the majority of their attacks came from Benrahma, who was trying to attack the space that Dalot was vacating when Dalot was inverting. And then as United changed shape to a 4-3-3, I didn't think that worked.
No.
It very much became a case of, all right, batting down the hatches and just get loads of headers in. Diogo Dalot, I really want to, you know, give him some flowers. He was superb defending the back post.
What flowers would you buy him if you could buy him some?
I mean, considering the weather, I'll try and get him some tulips or something.
Nice. Right, let's talk about Marcus Rashford then. He's the place to start. He scored his 100th goal for Manchester United today. It was a header reminiscent of Cristiano Ronaldo, and then he went and did a 100th celebration that Ronaldo did many years ago as well. I'm presuming he did that on purpose. But let's hear from Marcus then before we talk about him. This is him talking about how much that landmark had been playing on his mind in recent weeks.
It's probably been on my mind for the last couple of games. But, you know, we've been winning games, so I've been happy. You know, I've been just waiting for it to come, and, you know, thankfully today it came. I need to be scoring a few more headers, though. I feel like I've got a decent jump. I just need to work on, you know, attacking the ball and just getting the initial contact. But I just, for me, it's about just getting in the areas. I need to keep getting in the areas, and then, you know, I'm sure that the goals will come. To be honest, it's a completely different energy. around the whole the club and the training ground and stuff like that. So that for a start puts me in a better headspace, and I just feel really motivated now. Last year I think I struggled at times, more just mental things, not really, you know, my own performance. It was other things off the pitch, and that's the biggest difference. I think for us, we have to try and get in the right headspace for every game. Too often last season, I wasn't in the right headspace for the game. So
that was Marcus Rashford speaking to Sky Sports after the game. The point about his headspace, like he said from last season, we definitely should talk about. But first, the header. His second header this week. Incredibly, only 7 of the 100, Carl, are headers. That's something he's working on, isn't it? It must be.
Definitely, definitely.
It's amazing, wasn't it?
Ten Hag played his cards quite close to his chest when we asked, how has it improved? Ten Hag said he spoke to Marcus before the season started and said heading's something he definitely had to work on. And very much talked about this mental side of Marcus's game and how Marcus is now more resilient. And he's more confident and he's more composed when he plays. In terms of just the mechanics of headers, I mean, Andy, your mates with Benny McCarthy, do you think they've been working on it?
Yeah, Jordan Hambleton's asked us about that, Andy, actually. How much of an impact do you think Benny McCarthy's had on Rashford's heading in, well, the last few weeks?
The best header I've seen scored against Manchester United in my life, I think, was Benny McCarthy for Porto. It was the one header that Fergie picked out in his autobiography. Benny's enjoying it. He's doing well. The players like him. Pretty difficult to speak about him in recent weeks when the team have not been scoring enough goals, because everyone would just hit back and say, yeah, but we've, you know, only got one, or we've only got two, or our goal difference is zero. It moved off zero today.
We're on one. Congratulations, everyone. Yeah,
celebrate with your sweets. But in the 15th minute, Marcus, he manoeuvred to get a really strong header and then obviously his goal. I'm really enjoying watching Marcus Rashford play at the moment, and he kept using that word headspace. And how I believe it, because there was times last year where it just didn't look like he was in a good place mentally and it was affecting his football. He looks like he's enjoying playing now. He's rapid. It's exciting when he gets the ball. I think it's great, because there were times when he would absolutely have considered the interest in him moving away from Manchester United, and that would have been a shame. Local lad, United fan. I wouldn't say he's prolific yet. I think that's his next stage, to become a prolific goal scorer, and I think he knows that as well. But if we're marking the players up to now this season, Marcus Rashford would be one of the top three or four Manchester United players. We've not been able to say that for a long time.
No, that's true. Carl, you know him better than any of us. You can see in Marcus, can't you? He wears his heart on his sleeve, how he's feeling. But at the moment, watching him play, this is as good a moment as he's been in, isn't it?
Yeah. I think if you consider United's strongest front four last season didn't include Marcus Rashford, and coming into this season there was a lot of conversation as to would Rashford or Jadon Sancho be the starting option on the left-hand side, and it's not just that Rashford's the starting option on the left-hand side, but also he's probably the best starting option through the middle as the number 9 at the moment, because Ronaldo again had a
forgettable 90
frustrating
minutes.
90 minutes. Yeah. He snatched that trio of chances in the second half. So yeah, I think Rashford's, he's playing with a smile on his face, he's running in behind, which is what he's best at, and he feels encouraged to keep running in behind. I think in the third minute there was a chance, you know, Dallow gets on the ball from a Casemiro pass and sort of whips it in, and Rashford is sort of steams in front of Ronaldo to try and get a shot away, and they sort of apologise and go, ooh, sorry about that. But that's a sort of, oh,
he wouldn't have done that last season.
He would not have done that last season.
No.
So yeah, I think as long as Rashford keeps running into those opportunities, he's going to get goals this season. The thing that did surprise me, I had no idea he'd get this good at heading this quickly. I thought that Rashford we were going to get with maybe the Rashford of 2021, whereas he appears to be downloading new skills and learning new tools, which is a really good testament to Ten Hag's setup, the fact that players are now getting better.
Was his first goal against Arsenal a header? His first Premier League goal?
I think that was a 6-yard right footed.
Was it? So was it the second goal then? He definitely scored a header, didn't he, against Arsenal on his Premier League debut? That mad week that he had. That's still got to be the most remarkable start to a football career, hasn't it? Every time I talk about it, it still seems crazy.
The one I always read, it's the press conference he does afterwards, where I think it's a TV thing. You know, you scored in your first touch, and he does with that broad Manc accent. He goes, yeah, just like in Europa.
Yeah.
Good. Smile on his face.
Absolutely. It's great to see, isn't it? And that he was the one who scored the winner today, considering The 30th of October marks the 85th anniversary of United beginning this incredible streak. We spoke about it on the last podcast, but today is the day. Over 4,000 consecutive matches with an academy graduate in the squad. I think there was five or six of them in there today, if you include the bench as well. Absolutely brilliant for Manchester United. Long may it continue, and it looks healthy with the players who are coming through the squad at the moment as well. Andy, you've been speaking to Neil Wood, who's of course had a hand in keeping that record going this week. There's an article on The Athletic. We'll come back to the West Ham game in a moment, but just a word on Neil if we can. An interesting article if people want to go and read that, Andy. What's the standout points for you?
Well, Neil wanted to become Football League manager, and he'd done very well at Manchester United as a youth coach, and he headed up the 23s, and then he got offered the Salford job. He's doing well at Salford so far this season. The feedback I had from Salford fans was positive about him, but I thought it would have been remiss not to ask him about players like Garnacho and Kobbie Mainoo and the young lads who he worked with. There's a nice story in there about how he was in Manchester two Saturdays ago in a restaurant in South Manchester with his partner, and he saw Alvaro Fernandez, who's doing very well at Preston North End. And Neil thought, should I pay for his bill? Because they had a good connection. And then he came to ask for the bill, and Fernandez had already paid for him. So aww, nice little touch, good respect. And he's still quite a young coach who injury curtailed his career, and that meant that he could start very young. Kieran McKenna, similar to him, who's doing very well at Ipswich Town. So it was good to sit down with Neil in Urmston. I'm from Urmston. I grew up probably 200 metres away from Neil Wood, so there were lots of sort of touch points there. And
200 metres, that's very specific. Have you measured it?
I've wound him up about it because it's basically the border between Urmston and Stretford.
Right.
You know, this is a major international border. Yeah, turf wars. Sure. And I would obviously say to him, I ran the barrio, and he would disagree with it. So we basically lock horns over a coffee outside Urmston train station.
Sounds good, yeah. And obviously people can go and read that on The Athletic at the moment.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's go back to the game then. So United's form, unbeaten in eight, winning six. To be fair, it could have easily been eight wins as well, really, considering Marcus had a chance right at the end of that Newcastle game to win it, and United had so many chances and looks a lot brighter away at Stamford Bridge as well, which ended up being a draw. But it's the defence now, Carl, isn't it? Incredible. Here at Old Trafford, Manchester United have not conceded a goal in all competitions for 481 matches. I didn't have time before I came on the podcast.
Minutes, not matches. I wish it was 481.
God, did I just say matches?
That'd be nice.
You're good at pointing out my errors at the minute. Very sharp. 481 matches it might become, but it's minutes for the moment. But that, I didn't have time to go and look back at when the last time United did that was, but it must have been a while ago. They look really strong at the back at the minute, and David De Gea is there if they're not.
You consider that goal that United did concede to Real Sociedad was a bit of a soft penalty for a handball against Lisandro Martinez. I mean, Martinez, where have you been all my life? What's that like? He's incredible.
I'd share a bag of candy kittens with him anytime.
I think obviously there's a lot of conversation about his height. But the great thing about Martinez is obviously he understands that he can't go shoulder to shoulder with every single centre-back, so he has to make sure his timing is absolutely perfect, or as close to perfect every time. And I very rarely see Martinez, when he shoots out of that back four to make a tackle, he is bang on every time. And if he does get a book in, well, he probably crunched them a little bit too hard. I really enjoyed, there was a little segment in the second half where he did go shoulder to shoulder against Mikel Antonio. And Antonio, who is much stronger and a lot taller, couldn't really get off him. He was like, this guy's a pest and can't leave me alone. And he also had a great pass for Christian Eriksen when Eriksen was offside. That, I mean, his passing from deep is so important to alleviate the problems that De Gea has with passing from deep. And I think what's really good about this back four, when it's at full strength, or even indeed against West Ham, is they are beginning to cover up each other's weaknesses.
Yes, not only relationships are building in that sense, aren't they?
Yeah. And I think that's been really important. So De Gea's weaknesses from kicking and are being covered by Lisandro Martinez. And I think Martinez was quite good covering from Maguire when Maguire was having problems retreating, when Benrahma was attacking that right-hand space as well. So promising. I think the defence right now for Manchester United is top four quality. The question now is the chance creation and how they sustain pressure on opponents. Is that going to be good enough to finish in those top four spaces?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. It's certainly a vast improvement, isn't it, on the start of the season where it looked like United can see goals at will. David De Gea, you said before, Andy, that you were 200 metres from Neil Wood. How far are you away from Luis Enrique?
I did actually go to his old house, but he's moved to Madrid now. He's the coach of Spain.
Then.
So I can't go round there and pass on the message from you, which is probably... Go on, what is it?
I can't believe that Luis Enrique can watch that game today and believe that David De Gea is at best the sixth best Spanish goalkeeper at the moment. Those two saves in the second half, particularly the Kurt Zouma one, which was pretty much behind him as he's reaching back to get it, are as good as it gets. As good as it gets for a goalkeeper. Yes, okay, I understand the question marks about him playing out from the back in the build-up. I understand the criticism of that. But if you watch that, they are match-winning saves. They're as important a moment in a football match that a goalkeeper can ever bring. I can't believe that Enrique has got so little faith in him that he's at best sixth choice. I mean, we're talking Unai Simón, David Raya, Sanchez, Kepa, even Getafe's David Soria, all ahead of De Gea in the 55-man provisional Spanish World Cup squad. Andy, please tell me that I'm wrong. I don't think I am, though.
I thought David was spectacular today against West Ham. I think his time has been and gone with Spain under Luis Enrique. He didn't have a great Euro 16. The World Cup in Russia was bad for him for a long time. And I'd say even now, his stock in Spain is a lot lower than it is in England among Manchester United fans.
Sixth best Spanish goalkeeper at best.
I'm not going to say that he should be the number one because Unai Simon's done well. I totally take your point. It also seems bizarre.
Is it a personal thing?
Not to my knowledge. I think that Luis Enrique is pretty straight, and he'll tell players to their face, this is why I'm not selecting you. So I've heard no evidence of it being anything personal. And there's a lot of very good Spanish goalkeepers. I think your point is a valid one. And probably the best paid goalkeeper in the world not going to the World Cup in any shape or form is an odd one. And his save today meant that Manchester United get another 3 points. I think if that would have been a draw, that would have been 3 draws out of 4. I would have been really frustrated if that would have been a draw.
I get that.
Even though they played well, even though they came strong at the end, they finished strongly. I like your points about the defence, all getting stuck in, all helping each other out. Varane is a first-choice starter for me, but Maguire was defending really well when it properly came on top. Martinez is probably the number one defender at the moment. Dalot, I noticed after the game, Ten Hag was talking about him praising him. He also said he needs 2 right backs. And that was pretty specific. He doesn't want to rely on 1 right back. And then Luke Shaw, I think Luke Shaw's playing well.
Doesn't say much for Aaron Wan-Bissaka either, does it really?
No. Puts question marks on Wan-Bissaka's future and probably Brandon Williams' future as well.
Yeah.
But I'm pleasantly surprised by how much Dalot has kicked on. I did not see him being this good at these many things this quickly into this tenure. And I keep going back to the performance he had against Villarreal at Old Trafford last season, where he looked at sea trying to play in this inverted fullback system in a 4-3-3, whereas now he absolutely understands when is the correct time to go inside of Alanga and attack the penalty area, when is the right time to deliver the cross. And also, he gets back quickly. Maguire didn't make as many tackles as I think he would have wanted to make. But in the first half in particular, he had quite a few good delaying runs, which were very much, I'm going to just stand in place and eventually Dalot's going to come here and make the tackle with you, which in time hopefully that relationship can build up in future games as well.
It was an ideal 90 minutes, wasn't it, really, for Harry Maguire, in a sense, to get a clean sheet, to get a victory, and just to get through it, really. It just felt really important for him, that, especially, we didn't mention it in relation to Marcus Rashford, and it's important, but Gareth Southgate being here as well.
Yeah, I think Maguire will be the focus of my piece when that goes out on Monday, and I'll save Rashford scoring 100 goals for later on in the week. Sorry, Marcus. One thing that did stick out with Maguire is he had a tackle in the second half. Maguire very often does this, where things get a bit too hectic and United are risking a counter-attack or transitional moment, and Maguire will just go, I'll take the yellow card now.
Chill everyone out, yeah. Almost. Give everyone a breath.
And he sort of shot out of the back four, made this big crunching tackle, and the play stopped. And everyone sort of looked at the referee going, are you going to give him the yellow? And back in the day, Maguire's timing was so good that it wouldn't be a yellow card thing. But Maguire himself physically stopped as well and looked at the ref. And you go, no, don't. The cogs are turning in your head. Stop thinking about things. Just get on with it. He had a brilliant block right near full time on Jared Bowen. And that was a proper old school Maguire tackle. The sort of thing that when he's good, he does that all the time. And I think that will put me in better stead. Ten Hag said some relatively positive things at full time. I asked him, is the plan to keep Maguire at right centre back from now on? And he said, yeah, he thinks he's better on the right hand side. Which, if I'm Maguire, I'm probably wincing a little bit because he still doesn't seem the most comfortable on the right and wants to be on the left. But when Martinez is this good, you're not going to play on the left anymore.
No, that's the way you're getting in the team, yeah. It felt ideal in a sense, Andy, as well, because obviously Varane picked up that injury against Chelsea. Victor Lindelof wasn't in the squad today because he was ill. With the greatest possible respect to Harry, he was the only centre-back left. But that's exactly the scenario that he needed, in a way, to get him back in the team. And just to stop him being a talking point or the story in some senses, it was great just to get through it without any major notes either way.
That's how football works. That's how Marcus Rashford got his debut in unforeseen circumstances all those years ago that you were talking about. Maguire has slipped down the pecking order. He, club captain, yet he wouldn't be in the starting 11 for the idealised 11 of most fans. I think some of the criticism of him has gone too far. It's been pernicious. And
no booze today, by the way.
His stock is low, but I think he will get more support from, certainly at away matches, from Manchester United fans. Lisandro Martinez become a cult hero. The Red Army have had a big Argentina flag made for him, which was outside the ground. Also outside the ground before the game, a friend of mine told me that Cristiano Ronaldo signed countless autographs, just didn't stop signing autographs for young kids. So it's only a little thing and anyone can do it, but it's not a bad thing either. So with Harry, and I've spoke to him about this because I interviewed him maybe a month ago. He's got to get, the World Cup is a massive thing for him. He was obviously travelling to watch England as a fan before he was playing for England, but he knows that to be in the World Cup, he needs to be playing. And from his perspective, Varane's injury has given him that chance to play. And I felt he got better as the game went on. And as you said, those blocks towards the end, clean sheet does well for your confidence. And it's all right him saying, I shut out all the abuse. He is only human. Some of it is bound to...
Yeah, it's impossible almost, isn't it?
Yeah, to seep through. So, good day that Manchester United can win against a West Ham side who were good enough to really stretch Manchester United. Manchester United were making defensive substitutions towards the end, bringing on Fred to close down the midfield and to hold on, because West Ham could have scored. A West Ham team who spent a lot of money over the summer. I think that's a really good result. I thought it would be 1-0 because it's just a Manchester United, West Ham United scoreline.
That's six games now where one goal has decided it between Manchester United and West Ham.
Yep. I think one note on the substitutions. I think when Ten Hag watches the game back, he might slightly regret the order of his substitutions and the people he brought on. I thought it was quite telling that when he brought off Anthony Elanga, it was for Scott McTominay, and they changed to a 4-3-3 rather than bring on Jadon Sancho to play on the right hand side. We talk about Gareth Southgate was present at Old Trafford. I would imagine now Jadon Sancho is not on Gareth Southgate's plans for the final 26 person squad, which is unfortunate. I think Sancho, when Sancho is good, he's a benefit to any team he's on, but like Andy said, in the idealised 11, or in many fans' eyes, what's the idealised Manchester United 11? It might not include Jadon Sancho at this point in time, as he when he does play, is a little bit too reluctant to take on his man. And now there is an opportunity or a space for a player like Anthony Elanga or for a player like Garnacho.
You mentioned Anthony. Did Ten Hag say any more post-match about Anthony's minor injury, I think was how it was described?
Yes, he was asked by what part of the body is it hurt that was injured, and he simply replied, the leg.
Okay.
Which is something... Ten Hag didn't start off making jokes at the start of the season, but he's getting to this point now where... two things are very apparent. When Ten Hag doesn't want to tell you something, you can try two or three different avenues and he will still stonewall you and not give you that answer.
Yeah, but he understands now, doesn't he? There's enough of the language barrier has been broken down enough for him to get it now.
He understands that we all keep asking the questions, and he definitely understands that when you're a Manchester United manager, you have to play some ball. But the fact he's going for jokes rather than Kurt knows speaks to how confident he is now as Manchester United manager.
So
the leg is injured. The diagnosis before kickoff was a couple of days. So I hope Anthony is fit for Sunday against Aston Villa. He was present in one of the director's boxes going by his Instagram page. He was wearing a nice jacket. Far too expensive.
Oh, yeah. What was the jacket like?
One of those sort of baseball varsity jackets.
Yeah. More you than me, then, in that sense.
It's not even me anymore. I'm 31. No. I can't get away with that sort of stuff.
For it as well. Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay. We've established that Carl's piece on the match is likely to be focused on Harry Maguire. You can go and have a read of that on The Athletic. When you listen to this, if you listen to it on Monday, I'm sure it will be up there already. If you're not a subscriber, you can do so now. You can pay just £1 a month for the first 6 months when you do it by signing up at theathletic.com/ManUnitedPod. Andy, you did a call to action, didn't you, for the Manchester United Old Trafford faithful. I can't remember what game it was after. You've written about it now, the atmosphere at Old Trafford on The Athletic as well. The piece is up there at the moment. How do you feel your call to action went down?
I didn't see it as a call to action. I've written about the atmosphere.
I always think it was a call to action, don't you?
If Andy tells me to do something, I'll do it. Yeah. It's a call to action.
Yeah. I thought the atmosphere against Tottenham was fantastic, as well as the performance. And we've picked out different areas in the past on this podcast, mainly the TRA section, which has done really well for the Stretford end. I touched a bit on the new J-stand area where you've got safe standing there now, found out what's going on there with the young season tickets. But it was those primal screams against Tottenham. It's a wonderful thing to hear, and it's been so lacking as Manchester United have slipped from being such a top team. And it's great. And there's been five home games in what, 18 days? So a lot of people have got a chance to get to them. I've been really impressed by the attendances for the Europa League, selling out the Europa League or coming close to selling out. And one of the stats I put in the piece was, on the way to the final in 17, only one of the seven home games were sold out. So there's this real demand for seeing Manchester United live, and it all plays into what we're talking about, a more confident manager. I agree, I thought he interviewed really well after the game, Erik ten Hag. Marcus Rashford giving his most revealing interview for a long time because he's relaxed, because he's happy, because he's enjoying
his
job.
The confidence that he's got at the moment as well, yeah, absolutely.
And you can see that fans feel something starting to happen, and Pep Guardiola mentioned it ahead of the weekend's games. I wouldn't read too deeply into what he said.
One.
But I actually think he's right. And I don't think Manchester United will win the league this year, but I'm enjoying watching the team. And I think the team can make a real go at top four. Whoopie-doo, we might say. But I think it is progress.
Well, it
win
is
the
progress,
FA Cup,
isn't it?
Or the League Cup.
My goodness, look at last season. It's night and day even to the start to this season. You know, so to even be in contention, to have a conversation about, you know, challenging towards the top of the league or winning silverware again, this is exactly where we sort of wanted the team to be back. And especially after those first two matches, it looked as far away as ever, didn't it, in a sense, really. And I think the Old Trafford crowd are responding to that as well. And like I say, you can go and read more about it in Andy's article, which is up on The Athletic at the moment. We need to preview this game in Sociedad.
It's not Sociedad.
Oops. I knew that'd get him. So I'm hook him in then. Go on, reel him in. against La Real. This is a hugely important game in the context of United's season, Andy, isn't it? If they can go there and get a result to top the group, everyone would feel so much better without those two needless matches in February, which are bound to be against Barcelona.
I'd like you to say the word.
I think the script writers might want Ajax or Juve instead. No, Juve can't even make it now, is it?
No, Juve can they?
Like, just about, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot, if you know, the UEFA script writers who do not exist.
Why Juve, by the way? Why would that be? That'd
be a Paul Pogba reunion, wouldn't it?
Ah, of course, if he's fit.
The UEFA screenwriters who do not exist, there is no conspiracy rigging any draws, but there's quite a few potential narrative ties.
Oh no, I
in the playoff.
I want Frankie de Jong to step out at Old Trafford in the Europa League so we can all have a jolly good chuckle at him. Andy, how important is this match? What sort of shape are Larry Al in to face Manchester United?
It's a huge game, and it feels great that we're talking about a huge game in the Europa League without an ounce of condescension. San Sebastian's a fantastic city. Their stadium will be full probably for the first time. Really good stadium now. Loads of United fans are going. The weather's been really warm, even in the north of Spain. They've won every game in the group, as we know. Technically, they've got some very good players, but I still think Manchester United can go there and do it. That's how confident I am of the team at the moment. If you look at the two teams' domestic league records, they're almost identical. If Larreal draw against Betis tonight, then their record in the league will be exactly the same as Manchester United. So, not top of the league, but they're in a good place. They've got a good manager.
Right.
They're doing all right. I think if you want to push me and say what's going to happen, I think Manchester United can go and beat them by a couple of goals because they've got better players.
Yeah, and that's what they need to do, of course, to top the group. What about Harry Maguire or Victor Lindelof to partner Lisandro Martinez?
I would say you keep playing Harry Maguire, if only to keep the betting in process for games to come. So United aren't going to be playing at home in the Premier League again. Until the World Cup happens. So give Maguire, again, the run on Thursday, and also, again, give him the nod against Aston Villa just to keep getting those minutes up.
Yeah, it's sort of his place to keep until it changes now, I guess. And that's funny, isn't it? Because, Andy, Victor Lindelof has been really good when he's played. We were praising him. I think you were praising him, weren't you, after the game here in midweek. It's going to be as strong as possible, though, isn't it? Bruno Fernandes now is banned for the Aston Villa game because he picked up his fifth booking of the season, so he's sure to play. But I think it'll be a full-strength United 11, Andy, won't it? He won't be taking any chances with it.
No, it'll go really strong because want to avoid the two extra games in February. If that ends up then being Manchester United, Barcelona, we'll all be up for it and all excited about it. But it would be better if I'm being sensible about it if Manchester United can go through as group winners.
Blaming the last 16 instead, can't we?
Well, Manchester United should be playing Barcelona. It frustrated me that the two teams went 10 years without playing each other. There's been some great Barcelona sides and Manchester United sides who've never met each other. And yeah, I would absolutely welcome that. Ideally in the semi-final. Ideally Paul Scholes coming back from retirement and shinning a goal in. I once spoke to Eric Abidal about that semi-final. And like, yeah, we smashed you that night. And he's like, no, we weren't at full strength. Yeah, you fluked it. I went, what? What are you on about? He went, look what happened next year. So they need the spring taken out of their step. And every time I go to a Barcelona game, which is frequently, I've got to walk through the Sala Roma and the Sala Wembley. So they've named their executive suites after.
Oh dear.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not into that at all. So to beat Real Sociedad would be really good for Manchester United. They're playing Real Betis tonight, and they're going to see if they draw that, they'll have exactly the same record as Manchester United.
Of course, there'll be lots of great preview to that game on The Athletic. If you're not a subscriber, don't forget you can do that now for just £1 a month for the first 6 months. Go to theathletic.com/ManUnitedPod. Right, we've just got enough time to reflect on a very important happening. I like to share with you guys, of course, we all do, what goes on in the Talk of the Devils WhatsApp group. And there's been crisis talks today because Andy Mitten has been hacked on Twitter. For the second time in just, 2 months, Andy? It's really about time you updated your password from 123, mate.
I'm laughing about it, but I've still not got my account back. And whoever's got control of it is posting pictures of me mum out. I mean, my mum doesn't, but my mum's not bothered. My mum's 73 years old. And she's gone back to work on Friday as a barmaid in Manchester. And I said that on Instagram, and whoever's hacked my account, it's pretty sinister, isn't it? You know, someone's got your account.
It's horrible, mate. I'm joking about it.
I know.
And especially when they're posting pictures of your family as well that you've not posted on Twitter.
No, I mean, it's a match day, and you know, engagement is what I'm asked to do as part of my job. We had a new United Week standout today. Big interview there with John Murta. I would have plugged it. I would have said buy it.
A lovely front cover designed by Stan Chow. Lovely front cover, really enjoyed it. Just picked up on the way to Old Trafford this afternoon.
Stan's a top man, and he's been doing some of the front cover designs. I was going to ask you, Carl, you're from Leytonstone in London. Is that a West Ham area or is it Tottenham? Little things like this.
Look at him deflecting now so we can't talk about his password. Anthony Langer.
It should be West Ham territory. Geographically, the closest ground is Lansdowne Road. Lansdowne Road? Which should be
that's an island.
Brisbane
Island.
Road,
Lansdowne Lane, Brisbane Road, which is Leyton Orient, and then I am West Ham territory technically, but obviously I'm a child of the 90s, so the school kids were Manchester United or Arsenal fans.
But are you a Cockney man? Do you have like in your house? Did you have like a grand piano and have a big old Cockney knees up around it?
Yes, and also when I went to play, when I was playing rugby, we had one in the rugby club, and I would don a pork pie hat. I take the madness very seriously, despite my 31 years of age.
Could you do a proper Cockney accent? Band. Could you do an East End Cockney accent?
If I tried, it'd sound a bit like Don Cheadle out of Ocean's 11.
Yeah, nice. That's a good look, actually. That's quite strong.
We mentioned United. We stand the other United fans in Red News. They had a brilliant article about the Cockney Reds because Manchester United support in London is historical. And
we'll race you back to London.
Yeah, that's what.
That was what the West Ham fans
were
singing
it today, weren't they? Yeah.
Some of Manchester United's most loyal fans are from London, and I've been for like 40, 50, 60 years. And the Cockney Reds was a thing, you know, filling the trains up and travelling to all the matches. So, big shout out to the Cockney Reds who've made the journey back from Old Trafford down to London with West Ham fans on the train. You can enjoy these journeys once again.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, to be fair. Before we go, though, I must say that if you have seen anything on Twitter related to Andy Mitten, to be serious for a moment, please report it, because I wouldn't want anyone to fall for the stupid scams that are on there at the moment. Andy, good luck with getting your account back as well.
Absolutely, mate.
Just out of interest, what's the password going to be next time?
I thought I had a really sophisticated one, which was Man United. And obviously
99.
I've got two-part notification after I was hacked a couple of months ago. I don't know why this is happening, whether someone might have an issue. And I have been speaking to Twitter, because a lad who was a good footballer in Manchester, he works over at Twitter in California, so I had to wait for him to get out of bed on Sunday.
Friends in high places.
They've been taken over, so they've got issues of their own at the moment, and I think I've been wrapped up in all that. Either that or Elon Musk thinks I'm a knob.
There could be that, I suppose. What a great place to leave it. So, hello if you're listening, Elon. Thank you, Andy, for joining us as always. Good luck with getting your Twitter account back. Carl, thank you for keeping me company here in the press box at Old Trafford as well. We'll be back after the match on Thursday against La Real. Andy, you'll be at the game, won't you?
Yeah, I'm going to Lisbon for a few days. There's a thing called Web Summit on, and a couple of the Athletic writers are going. There's a lot of footballers go there. We do interviews and we go to seminars about how to avoid being hacked on social media, that sort of stuff. And then,
well, that'll come in handy then.
And then I get to San Sebastian on the day of the game. I'm really looking forward to it. Iberia, make sure my flights are on time, please, because I've got a pretty tight connection with it. But for any Reds going to San Sebastian, what I would say is get into the old town. The Pinchos, they're like €1-2. The food is absolutely fantastic in that city. Wash it down with a few beers. The locals are friendly. And there's no reason why it cannot be a really good European away trip, especially if Manchester United can go through as group winners.
I'm only a little bit jealous.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
It is the great away game of European football. One of the great ones.
Enjoy. And we'll speak to you after that. Thank you again to everyone. See you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Athletic.